We're going to be in Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's pray as we come to the Word. Lord, it is a glorious day. And it's a glorious day when we can follow You. And Lord, we thank You for Your glorious Word, the truth that You give us. And Lord, I pray that Your power would be at work in the time that we have left here today, and work in all of our hearts and minds, so that we can see Your truth and see You. We pray this in Your mighty name. Amen. So I'm going to let you in to the mind of a pastor a little bit. Scary place. When we have a service like this come up, we know there's going to be people coming in from out of town and new people, and you don't know who's going to be in the service. And just from my perspective, some of you may know I have a little bit of a sports background, and I have this little competitive thing going on. And on a service like today, this thought comes through my head: you got to bring it today, right? And you know, as I was thinking about it, though, I look back on past years and different thoughts that have gone through my head, and I've kind of regretted that way of thinking, because if you're a Christian, you bring it every day. Every day of your life, you serve the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there are eight. If it's a snowstorm outside and we get eight people here. It doesn't matter. But the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, we could have a choir and worship leaders who are very talented here, and they can practice for months, and I could prepare a sermon for weeks and months. But if the Lord's power isn't at work, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So God's Spirit, when He goes to work, it's His power. And I want to talk to you today about power. And, you know, I think when you think about power, what things come to your mind? So when I said that word power, different people might have had different ideas. I looked up online this week, and I looked at some powerlifting records, world records. A guy recently did a deadlift of over 1,000 pounds. So a deadlift is when the barbell's on the ground and you pick it up right to here. Okay? 1,020 pounds, I think it was. And the reason they call it a deadlift is if I tried it, I would die at that moment. And the bench press record is 700-something pounds. And it's just unfathomable to me. So there are people in this world who just have a lot of physical power. But there's other types of power. Money can give you power, can give you influence. There's other things that we power our homes by, electricity. And then we have water, hydroelectric power, and solar power. You know, you think about the sun. It's 93 million miles away, and I can get a scorched sunburn in April. I can. It's that powerful. It hits me like that. And just the power that's out there. You have military power. You have political power. You have engine power. That's one of my favorite kinds of power. You know, this past Christmas, I got a chainsaw for Christmas. And I think I mentioned it to you guys. And I finally became a true Aspenham man. You know, you put on your flannel shirt and you go outside and you cut down a tree. And if you guys want something cut, a deck or a shed, just call me. That thing's awesome. And a tree, yeah, better stick with trees. But, you know, we like power. But when we're talking about God's power, it just goes beyond any of this. And I'm going to talk to you today about God's power, and it's in our passage today. It's a little farther down, so I'm going to talk to you about a few other things. But Paul is writing to this church, the Ephesian church, and he's told them in chapter 1 that they have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, and there's power. And then he tells them he's going to pray for them. So I'd like to read this to you. This is Ephesians 1, and I'm starting with verse 15. And it says this: for this reason, and let me just stop there. He's talking about because you have the Holy Spirit living in you and you are a believer in Jesus Christ. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So Paul gives thanks for them, and he is also going to pray for them. And what is he going to pray? That's the next verse. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. So that you may know him better. He doesn't say, I'm going to pray that you guys become more religious. He doesn't pray, I want you guys to go through more rituals or be on more committees or go to more church services. He doesn't say that. He says, I pray that you may know him better. And that's the truth of the Christian faith. It's not about knowing things about God. It's about actually knowing him and having a relationship with him. I can say these two sentences and they mean the exact same thing to me. I know my wife. I know Jesus. I have a relationship with both of them. Jesus is a person far greater than me, but still a person. And he's so real to me. I know him. And that's why when Paul writes in Philippians, Paul basically says, I've given up religion. And he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider everything a loss for the sake of knowing Jesus. Not knowing about him, but actually having a relationship with him. If you turn from your sins, if you repent, if you put your faith in Jesus, you know him, and you have a relationship with him forever. And what a great thing that is, that you can actually have a relationship with the God of the universe. So that's the first thing I want you to see in this passage today. Paul's prayer is that you may know him better. And that's my prayer for all of us, that we know him better every day. He goes on in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Isn't that a great phrase? The eyes of your heart. What does that mean? It means more than just your physical eyes. It means right in here. You know something deep down inside of you, in your spirit. That your eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So Paul wants you to know the hope. And what is the hope? The riches of his glorious inheritance in his people. Glorious inheritance. So I want you to think about this for a second. To have an inheritance means that you have a loving father or parent. And we know that we have a loving father who's given us an inheritance. That means you're a child of God. And think about that for a second. So this God who wants to know us, he's also our father. And to be a child means that you're provided for and you're cared for. You know, God gave us some categories that we could understand things better. So you who have kids, you understand how much you love your kids, right? I mean, it goes beyond what you probably could even have imagined before you had kids. But God loves us more than that. And I know a number of years back, I was in a juvenile, I wasn't in a juvenile detention center. I let it, but who knows? I'm not perfect. I led a Bible study in a juvenile detention center, and it was a place for boys that had drug and alcohol problems, and they had committed crimes, so they were locked up for a while. And I went in there, and I would teach them Bible studies. And a lot of times when we would get to that word, father, there was this kind of blank look coming back at me. Because for some of them, not all of them, but actually a fair amount of them, they either had a dad who wasn't so good or a dad who wasn't there. So I would have to teach them what a loving father is because they didn't have that readily in their memory. So this is what our loving father does. He provides for his kids. He cares for his kids. He watches over his kids. He lets his kids fail, and he picks them up. And he's also given us a home, a heavenly father. He's given us a glorious inheritance. And this was really big in the ancient world, because in the ancient world, you couldn't go rent an apartment. You either owned a home, you owned your land, or you had to become someone else's servant, or you could be a beggar. There really weren't a lot of options back in that day. So to have a home was a big deal. And do you know that inside of you, you have a desire to be home? And we make earthly homes, and We think that's our real home. But here's the problem with earthly homes. They need new shingles. They need a new paint job. The pipe bursts. It's, or whatever it is, you're constantly fixing it. And it's an imperfect home. But you know you have that feeling at the end of the day, I just want to get home. You go on a long trip and you can't wait to get back so you can sleep in your own bed. But really, there's something even deeper inside of us that wants to be home with the Lord. And that's really what we're thinking. And when we're home with the Lord, that will be the glorious day. So that's where our hope is. So I'm going to continue on there. There's a hope in a second thing, too. It says this, and, this is verse 19, his incomparably great power for us who believe. And then he goes on and he says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The power of Christ is the same power that raised him from the dead. That's where our hope is. The Spirit of God took a dead person and brought him back to life. Solar power can't do that. The strongest man in the world can't do that. Firepower can't do that. Military power can't do that. Money can't do that. Can't bring people back from the dead. God can do that. He's the author of life. And we think about all the great power in the world and in the universe. You know, I mentioned the sun, the power of the sun. God made that. So that makes him even more powerful than that. So the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of you if you have faith in Christ. And as we continue to read, I wanted to preach all of chapter 2 of Ephesians, and then I said that really fills into chapter 3 and 4, but I know you guys get dinner cooking and you got to get home. But here's the basic point of chapter 2. You were dead in your sins, but he made you alive in Christ. So he took somebody or somebody that was dead and made you alive, made you spiritually alive. He changed you. Now, I know some of you people have friends and family members who don't know the Lord, don't have a relationship, or you may know other people that you work with, and you look at them and you say, that person will never change. That person will never be a Christian. And here's what I would say, never say never, for nothing is impossible with God. God can change a person's heart. He changes a person from the inside out. And I could preach here for the next 8 hours, but unless God goes to work in a person's heart, it's not going to happen. It's got to be a work of God, God revealing himself. And there's another power that we have, and that is the power over the things that are going on in our life. You know how much power you have access to when you're in relationship with the Lord? Think about this. He wants to know you. He's your loving father, and he has unlimited power. You're in relationship with this God. He answers prayer. He gives you peace in times of trouble. And you know, somebody mentioned it this morning, the world's a mess. It looks like things are going crazy. People are fighting, there's wars, there's conflict, there's discord, there's division. God is greater than it all. If you put your faith and your trust in him, he can give you peace, and he is greater than death. And you know, some of you here today might be thinking, you know, I don't know that God could forgive me. It's just been too many years of messing up and blowing it and continually going back into the same patterns and doing the same things. And I've tried before, but I just can't get there. Well, here's the problem. You've tried before. It's not about you trying. It's about you giving up and putting your faith in Christ. And let him do it. Letting him do that, because he's the one who has the power to change your life. He's the one who has the power to give you peace. We don't even realize, we haven't even tapped into the great power of God. I think as human beings, we can't even fathom it. But don't doubt, don't become stressed, don't become preoccupied with everything that's going on in life. Instead, go to the Lord and put it in his hands. He has the power to help you work through any situation. He has the power to change your life. And if you don't know Jesus, if you'd like to know him and actually know him and have a relationship with him, you can put your faith in him today, and he will change your life. He has the power to do that. And if you'd like to do that, you can pray this prayer along with me. Lord Jesus, I've done bad things. I've done wrong things. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. I put my faith and my trust in you as Lord and Savior. I believe in you. And I want to live with you forever. Amen. Maybe you prayed that prayer for the 1,000th time today. Maybe you prayed it for the first time today. But when God comes into your life, he changes your life. He turns you away from all the things in the world that might be distracting you. He turns you back to him. And it's all his power, and it's all for his glory. Let's pray again. Father, I ask your blessing on these people today, each one of them. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, as we go from here, would have the hope of knowing that we have a great inheritance waiting for us. And we would have the hope of knowing that you're more powerful than our situation. I pray this all for your glory. Amen.